Let the show begin. You guys have fun out there today.
Hello, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. Please remember that the show's content is simply the opinions of the hosts and our guests. So without delay, let me introduce our hosts, George, Tom, and Kelly.
Hi, and welcome to New Shooter Canada, for episode 82. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Hissen, and tonight with me we have George Hatch, Thomas Donnelly, and Kelly Lynn.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. You did like very well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyways.
And tonight we're talking about getting your first firearm. So, Thomas, what did you do with guns this week?
I went out and I shot the Sierra 64 rifle targets today. That, if you listen to, was it episode 84 on Modern Rifleman Radio, Brian had Ben on, and there's two different targets. There's a 100-yard and there's a 100-yard rifle target and a 7-yard pistol target. So I went out with my 22 Magnum for 100 yards, which is exactly the best firearm to choose. And I did okay. I kept them all in the target, but I didn't have any of the black. And then I did the 7-yard pistol target. That was much, much better. But the thing I hate about it is that all my guns are sighted in for 23 yards. So I have to spend, you know, 30 minutes in a box of ammo resetting my guns in for 7 yards, get them on target, and then the next time I go to the range, I have to resight them in again for 23 yards. But it shot pretty good. And I put, I think I submitted 2 or 3 perfect targets and a couple where I had flyers. What else did I do? I ran into my old friend, co-worker, and my hunting partner, Connie, on Friday at work. She ended up getting knocked down to collectors. So I was working at Dundas Street Station. She was in the booth there, so I talked to her for a bit. And we're going to go and we're going to join. We used to actually belong to the Union Rod and Gun Club together. So we both quit that club, and we're both going to go join the Coburg Club, and we're going to try trap shooting again. I'm not very good at trap shooting, as JT will tell you, but I'm going to try it. And I'm going to, so, and also I was speaking to Brian at my club today, and he runs the Service Rifle League and the ORSA League. So I'm going to join up and try Service Rifle at my club. Luckily, there's no running at my club, at least. And ORSA starts again in 2 weeks, so I'll get back into competing again this summer. So that's it. I've been so busy with Terry being in the hospital. This is the first day I've actually been out to the range for probably about a month and a half now. What about you, Kelly?
I haven't done
anything,
really.
Anything in the show notes for Kelly?
Yeah, well, I haven't really done anything, so. I got my cheek risers in and replaced those on my 1022, because originally it came with just the flat cheek riser, and then what I'm talking about is the Magpul Hunter X22 stock that I had put onto my Ruger 1022. It came with a flat cheek riser, and then Kevin had an extra medium one that was flat dark earth, but so we ordered a black one, and we replaced that this week. I haven't really done anything. I didn't have time yesterday. I had a family event that I went to, and then today Kevin was off to California, and I could have went to Rockville, but I didn't really want to, so I just stayed around home and puttered around. That's about it. Yeah, that's
it. Any luck finding your swivels for your stock?
Nope. Checked out a few different places, so no, I haven't had any luck, so we'll figure it out. I tried a few places that were suggested as well, and they didn't have any, so.
Even Brownells?
Even Brownells.
Well, that's too bad. Well, it's a new stock, so it might be a while.
Yep, so, yep. Didn't really. Anyways, George, what about you?
I didn't make anything go bang, but I took my girls to archery on Saturday, so I've decided to go back to recurve. And so I'm just trying to get that dialed in. Actually, I was kind of sort of starting to get something that looked like groups.
Cool.
But when you're shooting with no sights, no nothing, it's just a bow. It's a little more challenging. So.
Did you get it on paper?
Yeah, I got it on paper.
There you go.
And I was able to get at least. Oh, they're just ridiculously awesome.
Well, that's good.
And I hate him for it. My dad, I'm not sure if I mentioned this on a previous show. I probably did. My dad, thinking that, you know, he was pretty safe, offered $5 a bullseye, and sure enough, they both started getting bullseyes. So my dad had to revamp the program and go, well, you only get, I think it's $2 a bullseye to a maximum of, I can't remember, I'm not even sure. He just started making up all these rules and conditions.
How much money is he out of pocket already?
Well, and of course, they haven't hit a bullseye since. Oh, yeah. If there ain't big money on the line, can't be bothered. Bullseye, schmullseye, who cares? But no, they're absolutely loving it.
That's good.
Still haven't been to the range. I haven't been to the range for quite a while, but now that the weather's getting nicer, for some reason this winter I decided to become a fair weather shooter and haven't been out in the winter, so. But my dad's chomping at the bit. And I think next weekend's our AGM. So I'm not sure if we're going to get any shooting in next week, because they usually shut down the range on the Saturday. Maybe we'll go out Sunday, but
it was beautiful out today for shooting.
I got a buddy that's buddy's been bugging me to get together for some beers, and now that the Jays are playing, watching the Blue Jays, I'm like, yeah, beers interest me. Baseball, not so much. So we'll see what happens next weekend. Well, I'm not going to dispute that assessment of it, but I don't know if I would use those words. Although my friend doesn't listen to the show, so I could say it's boring as snot.
Okay. Oh, Mike, did you do?
I reloaded another 200 rounds of 9mm. After that, of course, I watched some YouTube videos on how to improve my reloading press, and I dipped a whole pile of little tips and tricks, and now I'm watching it going, man, that's a good idea. Why didn't I ever think of that?
What kind of press are you using, Mike?
The Hornady Lock and Load Ammo Plant, the progressive press.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, it's just a lot of little things like how to properly set up your press. You can watch the Hornady videos, and they do kind of go through the process, but it's very much just turn this until it works. Whereas this guy went into detail, it's like, yeah, it works, but if you tweak it a little bit more this way or that way, it'll make it run just that much better. So I'm hoping that'll help out with that a lot better. Went to the range on Friday. I set up a classifier for IDPA. Shot that. I missed sharpshooter by just over 4 seconds, so I'm actually quite happy with that for the first time trying to run a classifier. I realized going to the range with a plan, like I've gone to the range with a plan that's like, yeah, okay, I'm going to shoot one-handed, or I'm going to shoot from this far, but I never say, okay, I'm going to shoot 10 rounds, and I'm going to, you know, and then I'm going to move here and do that. It's always just kind of becomes a, you know, oh, I'll shoot 2 mags of one-handed and be like, I'm tired of this, and then go on to the next thing. But actually going and shooting the classifier kind of forced me to do a little bit of everything. So I really liked that, and it really showed that I needed to practice my one-handed shooting and shooting from behind a barricade. Also made me realize I need one of those tape measures that Kelly has that goes swish, because mine just wasn't long enough. And then that was my problem. I kept, it only went out, I think, 10 yards, so I kept having to measure out 10 yards, then put something there to mark it, and then measure out another 10 yards, and yeah, it didn't work the greatest. And then yesterday, Sarah and I went to the Perth Gun Show, and Sarah wouldn't let me buy anything. So.
Oh.
Did she buy anything?
No, she didn't. I think it was just, she can't buy anything, so I don't get to buy anything.
Yeah, I know what that's like.
Yeah.
The good thing is, usually when they get to buy something, you get to buy something too, so.
Yeah, didn't work out this time. Anyways, guns in the news. Who wants it? Story one.
I'll do the first one. Okay, story one comes from Lethbridge, Alberta. Fort McLeod, Alberta, I should say, on April 13, 2016, at approximately 2:15, Fort McLeod RCMP and Fort McLeod Emergency Services responded to an accidental firearm discharge on Beaver Creek Road north of Fort McLeod. A 52-year-old man from Lethbridge, Alberta, was on Crown land hunting in the area when he accidentally shot himself while attempting to load his .22 caliber firearm. The male was able to get himself to a nearby road and then further assisted by a passing motorist. Star's ambulance attended, and he was transported to Foothills Hospital in Calgary, Alberta, in serious but stable condition.
Serious but stable? He shot himself with a 22 in the foot. Come on.
Well, it didn't say where they shot himself. It just said he shot himself.
No, it said he shot himself in the foot.
No, it just says he just shot himself. It didn't say where they shot him.
Oh.
And he shot himself with attempting to load his 22 caliber firearm. So, you don't sweep yourself or anybody else with the firearm. Like, I'm wondering if there's any charges in this. They didn't specify. But he could be charged as well.
He's being charged as a dumbass, is what he is.
Yeah.
Anyways. Now that's the type of... Anyways. Yeah, people are going, why do you need guns? Anyways.
I know. That's why you keep your muzzle pointed in the safe direction. It's at all times, don't point it to yourself or anybody else.
I wonder if he got his... It's a 22 rifle. I wonder if he went and got his pal and our pal and actually proved that he was act and prove. Anyways. I'm just grumpy tonight, I guess.
I know. The course itself is very... there's so much missing. I don't think it even covers about sweeping yourself.
Well, yeah, it does.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it's an if you do it.
Well, obviously, he didn't read that test. Part because.
Yeah, if you do it during the test, you fail.
Yeah, you automatically fail. But they tell you to look down the barrel of the gun because
yes.
That's not sweeping. But.
Well, here's a question: if he's 52 years old, he could have been licensed under the old FAC system. When they switched that over, would he have had to have done the PAL course?
No, if he had a POL, because they allowed you to register and keep a POL, and then recently the POLs were transferred over to PALs. But if he had his hunting license, he still would have taken a firearm safety course at his age for the hunting license.
Okay.
Because I'm 55, and when I took my hunter safety course, almost everything that was in the current firearm safety course was in the hunter safety course. So when it came to actually, I never took the firearm safety courses, either of them. I just challenged the course and test because I had all the practical knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So you technically it could have, but if you had the hunting license, you still would have had the firearm safety training.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, story two. Lethbridge police have charged a 46-year-old man with 28 criminal offenses after pulling numerous weapons, ammunition, and suspected explosive devices inside his residence.
Busy in Lethbridge this week.
Yeah, really. Officers checked the North End house after taking the man into custody for uttering threat and a firearms complaint. Once officers realized what was inside, they called the city's Explosive Disposal Unit and the Department of National Defense, as well as criminal investigators, to initiate a search warrant. Police found a small arsenal inside, including machine guns, one dating from the First World War, as well as rifles, handguns, ammunition, gas masks, and a small amount of drugs. According to police, several other items from the house were taken by the Department of National Defense and the National Weapons Enforcement Support Team for testing. Further charges could be laid pending the results.
Hmm. Yeah.
Explosives.
Explosives. Oh, well.
So he's got into a fight with his wife, and the neighbors called the police, and... God, people are so crazy.
Yeah. Anyways. Yep. Okay.
All right. Anyways, NSC has decided to temporarily change our What's New in the Industry segment over the next few months to What's New with our Sponsor segment instead, as our way of thanking our sponsors for helping us achieve our goal of making this the most successful charity shoot ever. Kelly, why don't you tell us about Double Tap Sports?
So Double Tap Sports is donating gift certificates of their battle... Actually, two gift certificates for their battle belts for the charity shoot. So I went on to their website. Check it out because they have some new Starline brass in stock. They have a whole bunch of different models or different calibers, sorry, not models, in stock. And they're just about to start shipping it out. And what else? Go on to their Facebook page and like it because they just received over 1,000 likes. And because of that, they're going to start running a contest. So go over, like it, and then you'll get to be aware of the contest when it starts up and that as well. And we wanted just to say thank you to them for coming on board and being a sponsor for this charity shoot. So,
and if you're into Action Pistol, it's a site to go to. There, I think Jocko actually is an IP6 shooter, and he's got everything. He's got some really high-end guns, holsters, all kinds of great stuff here from Action Shooting.
Yep. So what about Zombie Supply Canada?
Well, Steve, who actually supplied the targets for the very first charity shoot that I went to for the zombie match, he is donating the targets again this year to the charity shoot. So we're going to get a whole mess of Zombie Supply targets. And I remember last time he actually sent out one of those 3D bleeding targets. So we might get some of those. He didn't say, but I'm expecting the targets to arrive soon. And he's also involved with EMP Precision Rifles, and they're also donating a gift certificate towards $100 for a custom rifle build. So keep your eye on the charity shoot page when we get the certificates, and we'll put a little information in there about the EMP rifles because they are sweet, sweet, sweet. And I'm in shock right now. This crazy cat. I've got a brain damage cat that I adopted. He literally has brain damage. He has never, in the 4 years I've owned him, come and hopped on my lap. He attacks me all the time. I'm sitting here recording, and the stupid cat's on my lap being my buddy, and I'm just waiting for him to attack and rip my hands apart. Come on, get down, Oz. Go, go.
Okay.
I'm afraid to move this.
Take it away.
He's attacking the microphone.
All right, so this week we're talking about getting your first gun. We kind of broke this up a little bit because there's a lot of different aspects depending on what you want to get your first gun for. So really, I started with a 22 rifle, which is what I would suggest pretty much anyone who's new getting into shooting to do. It's cheap. The ammunition is cheap. It's a really good way to practice your skills and learn proper safe gun handling, I think, at least. Kelly, what was your first gun?
My first one was a 10/22 as well, the Ruger 10/22. I think that was the same as you, wasn't it, Mike? You went to the range that day and you bought your gun that day and was out shooting with it?
Yep, right? Bone Stock 10/22.
Right. So, technically, what was my first gun? My first gun was the 10/22, but when I went to a pistol, I got a 9mm Beretta. The Beretta PX Storm. So that was my first pistol as well.
Now, you didn't actually choose that pistol. That was more or less given to you. You didn't...
No, I went to the range. I went to the gun store and I liked it. And yeah, Kevin saw one at a really good deal at the Granville Club. Somebody was selling it. And so he called them and bought it and then he gave it to me.
So you never actually shot it before you bought it?
Never shot the Beretta, no.
Do you wish you had started with the 22 pistol instead, or?
Well, he has an M&P 22, and I had shot that one before, and I also his 9mm as well. But those were his, and I liked them. But I also liked when I went to the gun store. I went out to SFRC, and they had a whole bunch of different ones there. I liked the Berettas. I liked the fact that it was a little bit heavier, a little bit more substantial, and that as well. But I should have actually shot it before I purchased it, or Kevin purchased it, because I don't have the Beretta anymore. It's off to a new home. So
yeah, you found it wasn't practical for Action Pistol.
It's not practical for Action Pistol, no.
It's a duty gun.
Yep. It's not something, if you want to go and do IPSC or you want to do IDPA or anything like that, you need something like a Glock or an M&P. So.
Or 1911.
Or 1911. But, yeah, no, I'd be doing it with a Glock or... Anyways. So, yeah. So
I have a question for you guys. So how old were you when you got your first firearm, Mike?
25.
And Kelly?
You're not. I'm not telling you.
George?
Or just the way on my...
You don't ask that thing. Sorry, George. Go.
I don't know. Mine was maybe like 5 years ago. My license is coming up for its first renewal this year. So I guess I would have been 34.
Oh. Get that
so
in.
So quite a range. I think I was...
Apparently you can do it online now. Renew it online now.
Yeah.
So just do that beforehand. Okay?
Actually, Terry's not going to be able to get her renewal in time because she's in the hospital, so we're going to have to transfer all the guns over to my name until she's out.
Oh.
Means I get my Kimber back.
Yeah, but you can do it online.
She could do it online. Yeah, she could.
Anyways,
so let's get back to this. Rifles, pistols, revolvers, and shotguns. Sorry. Mike, so take it away.
George, what was your first gun?
My first gun was my Savage Model 64. It was a 22. And then from there, I decided to get into cowboy shooting. So I've got... Actually, I bought all four guns at once. So my first pistols were my Uberti Cattleman, which is the Colt Peacemaker replica. And then, I always get the year wrong, 1872 Winchester. It's the Uberti 1872, which is the Winchester model. And then
1873.
Yeah, that too. Whatever. Back in the day, whenever. 18 something or other.
It's a nice rifle.
It is. It's probably my favorite. Out of all my guns, it's probably my favorite one. I really like that one. And then I got a side-by-side Stoker.
Okay.
So those were my first batch. My first pistols were the Uberti single actions.
So you pretty much started with the 22 rifle and went right into cowboy action shooting.
And went right to 45s, baby. Go big or go home.
Now, do you think that that's what you would have got if you had really thought about it?
Yeah, because I did really think about it. I put a lot of thought in it. I went, okay. I want to dress up as a cowboy and shoot cowboy guns, but real guns. And that was the end of the thought process, and I went and dumped, like, over $2,000 in guns.
Okay.
And I liked it very much. Now, mind you, with that being said, if I wasn't looking at getting into like cowboy action, then yeah, I would have gone 22. I got I've got that M22 from John, and then I bought the Buckmark, pink Buckmark for Jessica, and they're both 22s, and I love them to death. Great guns.
So, if we're talking pistols, what do you think you guys would recommend for a pistol?
Uberti Cattleman. And 45.
Okay, that's a revolver.
Still a gun.
But what would you guys recommend for pistols?
A 22 to start.
Yeah, 22, yep. So the Buckman. Mm-hmm. So, M&P 22.
So, it all depends on the size of the person, too, right? You've got a smaller frame person, you may want to start something smaller, like the Ruger 22-45 has got a smaller grip. If they're a little bit taller or bigger grip, the Buckmark is a little bit wider. The Ruger Mark III has a narrow grip on it, because it all depends on the size of the person, I guess.
Right.
I would recommend a 22, though.
Yep. So all the pistols that you're recommending are all striker fire. Is that specifically what you'd go for, or would you recommend someone go with like a 1911 style single action 22? Is that, or would you say no, start with a striker fire with a heavier trigger?
Actually, no, they're all single actions, and none of them are striker fired.
Oh, really? I thought those ones were striker fired.
No, they're internal. The internal cocking, like the Ruger, all the Rugers are single action. The ISS, your 22s. Single action too, isn't it, George? Or is it striker fired? The Buckmark single action.
Yeah, the M22 is hammer.
Yeah,
it's single action hammer.
I would, you know, unless you've got hammer. Experience with it, I would never recommend anybody get a striker fired gun for their first gun, because it does take a while to master the heavy trigger. You're going to get a little more accuracy and a little bit more ease of shooting if you use either double action revolver or single action pistol for the new shooter. Because if you've got it,
necessarily double action, you have the longer trigger pull, and it's also it's going to be a heavier trigger as well.
Yeah, but you can fire a single action too.
True, but when you talk about striker fire isn't necessarily a heavier trigger.
It's always heavier.
Anyways, go ahead.
I've got one striker-fired pistol. I got a Beretta Inox Deluxe. It's a striker-fired 22 pistol. Pull weight's got to be about 6 pounds. And it really, you really have to concentrate getting a tight grouping with that.
Okay, I'm just saying, I hate to I hate to do this, but I'm going to have to agree with Thomas for a moment here.
Ah, oh, Thomas will win again.
Oh, no. The debate about the trigger pull on striker fires, I'm sure you, I've shot a striker fire, but I've never owned one, so I'm not speaking from experience here. But to get any trigger down, you're going to have to do either install a trigger, manipulate the trigger somehow. A new shooter is not going to be jumping right into doing a trigger job on a pistol, right? Chances are they're going to buy it and go straight to the range with the factory trigger in it. So you're both right, just Thomas is a little more right.
I'm not putting down the striker fire guns, but for a new shooter working on your grip and your trigger press, the lighter trigger will give you better accuracy at first, because it takes a lot more concentration with a heavier trigger to get it to group. But once you master it, it's fine. But
okay, what about your first center-fired pistol?
You birdie cattleman. Single
that's
action.
Revolver.
That's still a pistol. Okay, when did revolvers not become pistols?
Well, we're trying to separate the two of them. So when we get to revolver, then that's what you can say, okay.
Well, I'm not... I'm pulling an armed squirrel. I've got no show notes here. I'm pulling a Toby. That's right, Toby. You and me, brother.
Well, you join the call after the show notes were put in. Okay, go.
Well, with me...
So, I was an afterthought?
My first center fire... So when I got my first handgun, I didn't want to get a 22 because I had 3.4 22 rifles. I figured, no, I want to get a 9mm. And you know, I was new. I didn't have a lot of money. So I figured, okay, well, and I shopped on price point, not knowing much about handguns, and I bought a Ruger P94. And it wasn't very accurate and had a decock. The trigger wasn't really good. It was costing me a fortune to shoot it. So I figured, I better get a 22. So I went out and I got a 22, honed my skills. Then I went out and got another center fire that was actually fit my hand properly and had a nice trigger and everything else. But I would still suggest starting with a 22 before you get a center fire.
Okay. Here, George, we'll go on to revolver now. What do you recommend for your first revolver?
Uverty Cattleman, 45 Colt. Okay, actually, I don't. unless you're a little silly like me. I don't regret getting my 45s. I love my 45s, and if I had it all to do all over again, I would definitely get my 45s, because they were bought specifically for cowboy action. The cowboy shot 45s. I want to shoot 45s, and I don't care if I come in last place every match, because I'm there dressed up as a cowboy shooting my 45s. With all that being said, not everyone's like me. So if it's a revolver, I would say probably a 357 would probably be your best. If you're not going with a 22, if we're talking center fire, a 357 is your best, because you can load 38s into it. And 38s, essentially, they're basically, it's like shooting a 22. It's not a whole lot much difference with the kick. So that would be my recommendation, would be a 357. Unless you're a little screwy and like me and, you know, go full on cowboy. You never go full cowboy, but I did.
Now, so would you recommend...
That's a Tropic Thunder reference. You never go full cowboy.
I would add to that, if you're going to get yourself a 357, get yourself a quality one. Like, there's some cheaper ones, like the Charter Arms and... I'm trying to think of the other budget brand made in Australia or Brazil or Argentina. You're better off if you're going to get a revolver, get a nice one. The Smith & Wesson 686 or the older Blued 586 are gorgeous guns, really nice triggers. You know, they've been on the market for years. Parts are readily available. The Ruger GP series is nice. Triggers are a little bit heavier. But if you're going to get a 357, I would suggest getting a Smith & Wesson 686 or a GP100.
Well, and the kind of, sorry, I almost got to Trevor, Thomas, to kind of build on that, it's not a bad idea to go with a company that's known for revolvers. Like you were just saying, like the Smith & Wessons, the Rugers, those two companies are known for building revolvers.
And they're designed to handle the pressures. And they have features. I was looking. I was actually considering one of the Charter Arms, and I was looking at it. Well, the front sight's part of the barrel, so you can't replace the front sight. You can't do anything with it. The front sight is the same color as the barrel, so you've got a silver front sight and a black rear sight, so it's going to be really hard to get your sight picture. And there's not, like you said, there's not a lot of parts available for them. It's a small manufacturer in a foreign country. But if you get like a Ruger or the Smith & Wesson, you can go on to Brownells, you can order all kinds of parts, all kinds of trigger springs. You can do a lot of work yourself with parts to reduce the trigger pull. And it's these parts easy to go, oh, that crazy cat's back. And this stuff's easy to work on.
Crazy cat.
Now, would you guys recommend going with something like the Ruger or the Smith & Wesson where it's a double action, single action? Or more in the direction of what George said, go with a cowboy gun where it's a single action only?
You know, a lot of that depends on your club. My club, if it's a single action, they want you to take the cylinder out before you go down range. It's not enough to have that loading gate up. They want the full cylinder coming out. Not all ranges are like that, where if you've got a double action, you can just pop open the cylinder and go down range. But because you can't see the chamber, it's a pain in the butt. I actually sold my single action because it was too much of a hassle just to pop the cylinder out and just to change my target all the time.
So you got to dismantle your pistol?
Yeah, you have to pull out the base pin and take the chamber, take the cylinder right out.
Oh, what a pain in the butt that is.
Or put the trigger lock on it and case it when you go down range. Don't ask me why.
That'd almost be easier. Yeah, my club, that's they don't do that.
Yeah, that's just my club. My club's special
at times. I got a good club. I got a cool club. My club's better than your club.
Your club is an excellent facility.
Yeah, I think we still have a couple FUDs that we need to have retire. But
anyway, so what would people suggest for a shotgun?
Stoger, Stagecoach, side by side.
Well, you have to really figure out what your use is going to be for the shotgun. Like, are you going to go hunting? Are you going upland game bird hunting? Are you going to be hunting goose? Are you going to be shooting trap? Like, you really have to gear the firearm purchase to its intended purpose.
Okay.
Unless it's Kelly, and then she just wants my Benelli, and that's it.
I'll jump in here for a sec. Actually, my very first shotgun was, I don't know, this thing is like ancient. But it's a Stevens, and it kind of building on what Thomas just said. I went in to Goebbels. They had an old side-by-side for like $150, and I was going backpacking for the first time. I had clearance from the OPP and the Ministry of Wildlife.
Natural Resources?
Natural Resources, whatever. The ministry involved with the hunting and all that. Anyways, they gave me all the clearance to bring a shotgun backpacking for protection. Everything was legal, legit. And I just went in. I said, give me your cheapest shotgun that if a bear attacks me, I can kill the bear. And I ended up with a $100 Stevens magazine-fed, 3-round capacity, 12-gauge shotgun.
Pump action?
Bolt. Get that. Bolt action.
When I went to shoot the old Savage.
Yeah. When I went to shoot trap with it for the first time, everyone's like, what is that? That's so I don't get eaten by a bear when I go backpacking. Thank you very much.
Don't laugh. I was shooting trap a couple years ago, and a guy pulled out with an old bolt action 12-gauge Savage with a poly choke on it, and didn't that guy shoot 25 out of 25 with that gun? So if you know what you're doing.
Yeah. But like you said, Thomas, it really is going to depend on why. Like, what are you going to use that shotgun for? That Stevens, I would never shoot trap. I have shot trap with it. Not a trap gun. Not a gun I would ever want to take out shooting trap with. My Stagecoach, I shoot cowboy, and that's all I do with it. And its only purpose is to shoot cowboy. I could probably shoot trap with it. I've never tried, but it wasn't bought for that reason.
So what would you buy for shooting trap?
I don't shoot trap.
Okay, Thomas.
What you do is you go on Facebook and you message Jason Phelps. He's the Mr. Trap guy. Ask him. Sorry.
If I had the money for trap, I would get myself a really nice Beretta.
But for a first time, or for a new shooter who's just thinking about getting into trap, they might not want to invest that much money into it in their first run around.
Oh, you don't have to. You really don't have to. You can just get a Mossberg 500 or an 870 and just put a proper choke tube on it. With trap, it's nicer having the longer barrel, like the 28-inch barrel. You can do it with a 24, 26-inch barrel, too. But you don't have to spend a lot of money to get in the game, but if you want to really get serious and take your game up a notch or two, then you want to get a quality over and under and have it actually set up to fit you. But
like Thomas was saying, I've seen everything from the camo shotguns, pump, semi-autos, break action, over unders. I've seen them all when I've driven in. So I would say get what you can afford. And then if it's going to be something you're going to get into, you want to start investing money in it, then look at that down the road.
Well, a lot of these, like we're going to talk about this later, but the Mossberg, for example, they have three barrel sets. You can get an 8-inch tactical barrel, you can get a 24-inch turkey barrel, or you can get a field barrel, or you can get a rifle deer barrel. So, and under $500, you can get a pump shotgun that'll cover you in the field, cover you big game hunting, or cover your trap. So
there you go.
That's what I originally bought for a shotgun. That's actually the only shotgun I still have, because it does everything.
Which one was that? Mossberg 500?
Yeah, the Mossberg 500 that comes with like three different barrels.
What did it cost you?
I can't remember now. I just remember I went to SFRC. And I was in there kind of like George, and I was just looking at getting the cheapest shotgun I could get, and next thing I know, I was walking out with a brand new shotgun with three different barrels.
You can't go wrong with the Mossbergs. Like, they really are the best bang for the bucks out there. And at one point, the 870 ruled the roost, and most of your accessories were geared toward the 870. There wasn't a lot aftermarket stuff for the 500, and I'm talking 10, 15 years ago. Well, that's really changed around, because now Mossberg is the number one seller of pump shotguns, and you can get anything that you can get for an 870, you can now get the exact same thing for a Mossberg 500. And you see them turning up a lot in competition these days, too.
What about what gauge to start with?
Again, it depends on the size of the person and the age of the person. The 20s kick a little bit less, not a lot. I wouldn't go anything lower than a 20. I know when I was younger, a lot of times people were trying to talk you into getting a 410 as your first gun. It's not a beginner's gun, it's an expert gun. But, you know, a 12 or 20, I would recommend. If somebody tries to sell you an old 16 gauge, sure, it's a nice shooting gun, but try to find ammo for it.
So pretty much
12 or 20.
12 or 20, okay.
Well, the ammo is easy to get, and it's inexpensive. I've got a Mossberg 500 and 410, and it's a beautiful little gun, but the ammo is three times the price as a box 12 gauge.
Okay. All right. We kind of covered getting not just your first, but your second pistol, even revolver. What about like your second rifle? So you've got your 10/22 or your other. Actually, there's a good question. We talked about the 10/22, and George, you had the Savage. That's a bolt action, right?
No, semi-auto.
Okay. Well, back to the rifle. What would people recommend for going with semi-automatic versus bolt action or lever? What's a good first gun?
Well, if it's a younger person, I would suggest a bolt action or even a single shot. The Savage has, I think it's the Cubs, and it's a bolt action. I think it is a repeater, but you can actually pull the magazine out and use it only as a single shot, and then as the person gets older, then you can change it into a repeater.
Okay.
The first 22 I got, I was 12 years old, grade 5. I got a Winchester Cooey Model 39 single shot, and it didn't self-cock. You had to close a bolt, and then you had to pull a tab back. And at 12 years of age, it took all my bloody strength to pull back that little cocker. That's what I started with. And then when I was 15, my parents got me the Savage or the Winchester 64 Cooey in 22 semi-auto.
Okay. And what about a second rifle? Because we kind of talked about that with pistol and revolver. What would people recommend for their second rifle? So they got their 22, they've shot at a bunch, they want to shoot. What would you recommend for their second gun?
Again, it depends on what they're using it for. Are they going to be hunting, or is it just for target shooting? And the type of hunting involved, is it going to be varmint hunting, big game hunting? There's so many variables.
So I guess hunting would just really depend on what game you want to hunt.
It can vary. Like you can, if you're planning on deer, anything from a 243 up to 270 will do the trick. If you're shooting anything bigger, like moose or something, you may want to go to a 306 or 308 or anything bigger than that. It all depends on what you feel comfortable with, I guess.
What about just for the range for fun?
Cost. You just want to do plinking at the range, you're probably better off to get a 223.
I was almost thinking, now you're looking at maybe getting into the AR market if you're just going to be plinking at the range.
Well, not everybody has restricted. You can, Mossberg makes a nice bolt action. You can get some nice bolt action 223s. And you can't hunt with an AR right now.
Like, yeah, no, but we moved. But what I'm saying is, if we're moving from hunting to just shooting at the range, if it's not going to be used for hunting, it's just for plinking, then the ARs come on the table.
True.
Because you're just going to be at the range plinking anyways, and you're shooting 223, which is going to be a cheaper round to be shooting anyways, right?
And they're a soft shooting gun to the ARs.
Yeah, there's like no kick to them at all.
That's also assuming that you're not shooting in, you know, your back 40 or something like that, where you couldn't get a restricted either.
Yeah, if you're shooting on your own property, then ARs are back off the table.
Yeah. Okay. Any other thoughts on that main topic?
But if you're shooting on your own property, now we're talking tannerite. So now you're going to want a rifle that can set off tannerite, which I think
at least a 223.
223 and up. Because, let's be honest, if you're shooting your own property, I think it becomes mandatory. I think if you read in the fine print of the PALs, you must shoot tannerite.
Kelly,
I may be wrong on that one.
What?
Did we lose Kelly?
Have you lost you shot your tannerite yet, Kelly?
No.
No, I still have mine too.
I think we need to get on to, I can't remember what the government website is, but it shows you where all the Crown land is. I think we need to get on that website and find some Crown land between Kingston and Bowmanville. Maybe closer to Kingston, because Mike's going to come from Ottawa. You're in Ottawa, right, Kanata?
Yeah.
So maybe towards Kingston might be better. Kingston might be the halfway point between Thomas and Mike.
If we go just north of Ottawa, Tracy Wilson has a nice piece of property she invited me up hunting on. We could set off there.
Ha ha ha, Tracy. Road trip. Tracy's place. Down for that.
It would be a party.
I may even ask my company to send me give me a load to Ottawa. Now I only have to pay to get there.
Anyways, moving on to events.
You guys are going to be glad when I'm back off the
Coming up events. Charity shoot registration is now open. Friday handgun fundamental course with RJ Wood for $50. Only two spots left, so get them in. The Tango Yankee Project will be on sale during the charity shoot, where 100% of the proceeds will be going to Soldier On. You can check them out at fireartsolution.ca and click on the Tango Yankee chat tab. The Saturday charity shoot is $35. It's open to everyone. Registration before May 1st. That's only 2 weeks away. And you get a free t-shirt. Not able to come but want a chance to win the Yukon 41 and get a free t-shirt, just send us the $35 and you'll be entered in the draw. You can sign up at newshootercanada.ca or visit newshootercanada on Facebook or message us and we can send you the link. You can send your EMT and questions to newshootercanada@gmail.com.
K Kelly, I got a question.
Sure.
How many people we have signed up so far?
I don't have a number for you.
Okay.
It's below 50 still, but we're close to that number.
Okay.
Up next, the petition E111 is for the AR-15 reclassification. You can see the link on their website. It's closing May 7th, and it currently has 23,427 signatures on it. So if you haven't signed up for it yet, get on there and sign up. We also have the CSSA Stick to Your Guns Dinner. Come out and meet Bob Zimmerman, MP, and TV star Faith Godley. When? Saturday, May 14th, 2016. Cocktails are at 6 p.m., dinner at 7. At the Quality Hotel and Conference Center at 1011 Bloor Street East, Oshawa, Ontario. Price is $69.95. For more information, visit the CSSA website.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Who the hell's Faith Godley?
I don't...
She was she's one of the anchors from the old Sun Network. She's now on Ezra Levant's new The Rebel Media.
Okay.
She's never one of the cute blonde reporters that they had on there.
Okay, maybe I'll meet her because I'm going to go.
All right. So first for listener email, Kelly, why don't you take the first one?
So this is from listener Roy. He said, yep, you guys and gals got a like all the way from Belgium. Keep up the good work. So somebody out there from Belgium is listening. So,
woohoo!
Hi.
Right on.
Hello. Hello, Roy.
Thanks, Roy.
So now all your other European countries, you don't want to be outdone by Belgium. And Belgium, you don't want to be outdone by the other one. So let's get a little rivalry going here.
Thomas, why don't you take the next one?
Next one is from Gord Claridge. Gord writes, hey guys, I heard you talking about me on your recent podcast. Yep, you finally pronounced it right. Claridge, as in Claridge, not cartilage. Laugh out loud. Thank you for the shout out, and I continue to listen. Just waiting for the safe to come before I start filling it. One piece of advice I've gotten this far has been, if you can afford to purchase firearms, you can afford to purchase a gun safe. It was funny that you mentioned the Mossberg combo. I was already thinking about it as what is the best way to go. I'm looking at the 500 or the 535, the three-barrel combo. I'd like to hunt deer this fall, but my uncle hunts geese, and he also likes to get into turkey as well. Can you guys share some insight on the 3-inch versus the 3.5-inch 535? I've done a lot of research online only to find out that it's good to have the 3.5 when the next person states that it's not necessary having it or worth the extra punishment, as the lead-free loads have greatly improved, or lead-free loads have greatly improved. Getting a bit cloudy on this, is it worth the extra $50? To me, it makes sense to go with the 535, and at least you've got the option to shoot the 3.5-inch if you want to go that route. For handguns, I have a few likes to buy. The MP9 range kit, Baby Eagle, or the new SIG 320. All look good, but I'm thinking for the price, and because it's my first gun, I might get better to go for the Norinco NP22 9mm SIG clone. Care to share any insight? Is it better to spend the extra bucks now or get the Norinco and get shooting and then get a chance to get a few others later and to find out which one I like the best? I've also joined the local gun club, and I'm setting up the club-level handgun training, and I hope to pick some guys' brains as well as get some shooting in. I sent my funds in for the charity shoot, and I don't think I'll be able to make it. I hope you can. But I have to ask, what exactly happens at a charity shoot, and if I were to attend, especially as a new person shooting altogether, what could I expect there? Then again, thanks again, guys and girls, I should say, and keep it up, Gord. Well, Gord, you're right about safes. You know, steel cabinets may qualify as safes under our storage laws, but they're very easily defeated. I would spend the money on a good fire safe if you can. You won't regret it. Manufacturers often clear out discontinued models at a greatly reduced price, so shop around. Just don't go into Cabela's and buy whatever they have, because if you really shop around, I went up to Williams Arms a couple years ago, and he told me I was looking at this one model, and he said, no, just hang on, let me call Browning for you, because they're discontinuing all last year's models, and he scored me a really great deal on a Browning fire safe. So shop around. on the Mossbergs. The 500, 535, and the 835 are all great combo packages for the money. The 535 is basically just a less expensive alternate to the Mossberg 835 utility mag. If you really want a 3.5-inch chamber, I would go for the 835. The 535 is just a lengthened 500 that lacks the 835 overboard barrel features and weight. Actually, the 835... they say that it's backboard. It's not. It's actually a 10-gauge ported barrel. With the backboard or the 10-gauge barrel, you get less deformation of the shot column, tighter patterns, and less perceived recoil with the porting. You have to remember, too, that Mossberg was the first company to bring out the 3.5-inch chamber to market, and the 835 was specifically designed for the bigger round. I own the 835 two-barrel set. I've got the turkey deer barrel combo with my extended and ported full and extra full chokes. Long shots are not a problem. If you want to hunt turkey or geese, change a choke and it makes an excellent field gun or upland game gun. The rifle deer barrel has a cantilever scope mount and shoots really tight groups. The smoothbow barrel is ported and has adjustable fiber optic sights. And the receiver is also drilled and tapped on the 835 if you want to add optics. But the 535 and the 835 has a longer action than the 500. My suggestion would be to go to your local gun shop and try them all on for size. See what fits you the best and try to swing it around and see what feels best and see how what you like. Not what anybody else, not what I recommend or your friend recommends. Try them both. See which one feels better in your hand. Then again, a heavy 3-inch load and a model 500 with a red choke combination can be almost as effective as a 3.5-inch. You'll have just have a little less light payload in flight. And if you're planning on walking in the field all day, plan game bird hunting, the lighter 500 might be an easier thing to carry all day. And it's a little bit faster to cycle. On the pistol selection, I don't like clones. Just ask Filthy. I also don't like striker-fired guns that much because they're heavy triggers and they're harder to master for the new shooter. But I didn't mind Kevin's MMP. It's had some trigger work. It was a nice gun. And I did try Sharp's Baby Eagle a couple of months ago. And it's basically a CZ clone, double action trigger. The trigger was decent and it was very accurate. I liked it, so I would suggest that one. With the Norc pistols, it's really hit and miss when it comes to Norcs. I would avoid buying anything but their 1911s, and then even they can be hit and miss. Some of the 1911s are absolute garbage, while others I've seen are tack drivers and have nice triggers right out of the box. The advantage of the 1911 is that you can customize them and tune them up to be half-decent guns, but remember that you will never get back what you put into it money-wise. So just saying. Honestly, if you want a nice pistol, avoid the Norcs, save your money, save up, and look for something that you like. And you can get great deals in the used market these days. Check out a lot of the stores. A lightly used, decent gun can usually save you a couple hundred dollars. What to expect at the charity shoot? I'll leave that to Kelly. What should he expect at the charity shoot, Kelly?
Well, anybody can talk about the charity shoot.
Yeah, but anyways, you've been quiet all night, so we'll leave it to you.
So what to expect at the charity shoot? Well, a bunch of people will be coming to shoot some guns. Anyways, so charity shoot, normally what happens is we have the one-day shoot. Now, we've put on some things the day before and the day after, but at this one anyways, so you come on the Saturday, you sign up, you do a couple of different stages. You have pistol, you have rifle at the 50, and you have rifle at the 100, and it's a little bit of a competition, but not really. It's mostly a fun shoot. And in the afternoon, you get to show off all your guns, and people will have a chance to try them if they want, or if you want them to try them. And it's basically just a chance to get together, meet some people, and meet and greet kind of thing. And yeah, and then you raise some money for a really good charity. Hello. And this
I just broke my chair.
Anyways, and this charity is Soldier On, so it's a really awesome one. Everybody got a chance to vote on the charity of choice this year. Soldier On was the one that won, and we have some great people that are coming. We have it's a little different this year because we have some of the advocacy groups they're coming as well, and you get a chance to meet some of the podcasters in Canada anyways. From some guys from Slamfire are coming, and Also, I believe Brian's coming from Modern Rifleman Radio because he's already signed up, and I just confirmed with Jazz he's going to be coming.
Excellent.
And, yeah, we have some people that are new to podcasting as well. They're going to make an appearance, meet some people, and that too, maybe next year. They'll be on the podcast list as well. Yeah, and then we have some people coming up from the United States as well, and you can have a chance to meet with them as well. People that will be representing podcasts like the Armed Squirrels. And, yeah, that's about it. You get the chance to, you know, shoot your pistols, shoot your rifles, and, yeah, raise money for a good cause.
Like the mornings to shoot, the afternoons to barbecue, and the fun time, and the socializing part, and the draws, and the prizes, and everything else. And Tracy Wilson's going to be there with her t-shirt cannon, so prepare to duck. You're going to be hit with a t-shirt, and it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yep, and any other information you need, you can find on our website at newshearcanada.ca.
Yep.
Yep.
Or you can go to the Facebook page and actually sign up there. We'll add you too. Don't forget to do the registration because it's 2 weeks away. Get a free t-shirt. Enter into the draw.
It's a lot of fun. This will be my fourth podcast charity shoot, so I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah.
Except I have to work this time. And I can't go in any of the draws. That sucks.
Good. Next email is from Tim. Hey, gang, I have been listening to the podcast for about 6 months now. Yeah, I know, I'm just getting around to liking the page. A friend of mine who had just completed our RPAL course together posted this on Facebook, and he posted a link there. It's a private Senate bill proposing changes to the Firearms Act, and not in a good way. It's just finished the first reading and hopefully won't make it out of the Senate. But it's good to keep an eye on what the politicians are doing anyway. Please pass this on to the folks at Slamfire Radio and Modern Rifleman Radio. Thanks. By the way, two thumbs up.
Is that our first two thumbs up?
I think so.
I think so, yeah.
So I put in there the link and also the link to, or the title of the act as well. So,
it's a pretty scary bill. It's the same thing that she introduced last year and it got chucked out. But the stuff that she's proposing is absolutely ridiculous. We'll put so many unnecessary burdens and restrictions on hunters and target shooters. Well, you guys talked about it when you were in Slamfire. Can you share a little bit what they said about it?
About the act itself or what?
Yeah,
well,
isn't basically
is about?
Yeah, basically, isn't it anything over 18 inches is going to be almost like restricted? You have to actually pick up your guns from a meet somebody from a central storage facility and have them deliver the guns to you, take your guns to the range, and then bring them back and have them drop back off the storage facility, crazy stuff like that.
Yeah, so basically anything that's not a bolt-action rifle for hunting will be classified as I can't remember what they called it, but yes. Anyways, it's not. The proposal is that the stuff will either be stored at the range or at a central deposit, and you couldn't actually transport your gun. The other thing is, and instead of registering your gun, because basically, registration causes issues, and people don't like registrations. There's going to be inscriptions, so which is just the exact same thing.
Which is the same as registration.
So the bill is called.
No, this sounds something.
Sorry, the title of it is actually called Strengthening Canadian Security and Promoting Hunting and Recreational Shooting Act. So she's not actually. So anything like it'd be either. That's not true, because 22 semi-automatics didn't make the cut for some reason. Yeah, so, but it's any other type of rifles, either semi-automatics, anything that's not used for hunting, basically. So anybody who does IPSC or three-gun, you're screwed. Anyways.
This sounds eerily familiar, like something the NDP came up with a few years ago, where they wanted to put all the firearms at a central storage facility. You know, I don't think she's even realized the cost of implementing something such as this. I really don't think it'll make it past second reading, or I hope it doesn't. Because, you know, hopefully our current government has some common sense and just realizes how ridiculous this is.
Well, it didn't pass the last... It went through once and didn't pass the second reading. It's gone through the first reading, but second reading it hasn't gone through. Well, the first reading it just went through, so the second reading... I'm sure that it's not going to pass through because it's just ridiculous. Anyways, yeah, if you think the registration cost is a ton of money... Sorry, you have to edit that. Sorry. If you think the registration costs a lot of money, this is going to be, yeah. Anyways.
Well, you look at it, so, you know, years ago, the armories in Toronto, like the Armed Forces armories, used to actually be armories. They used to actually have firearms stored there. And the criminals started breaking in the armories. So now the firearms are stored on CF bases. So, you know, a central storage facility for any type of firearm is just a shopping list or store for criminals to break into. And none of the gun clubs anywhere have storage facility for firearms. So you're going to have full-time staff at the range. You're going to have security systems. You're going to have safes. It's just so ludicrous. So when you get a chance, go on, read this link. Read what the actual bill is, because it is very scary. It really is.
Yeah, I had a chance to read the whole thing. Yep. Doesn't make any sense.
No. And it's, you know, once they have your guns in a central storage facility, say goodbye to your guns, because the minute the government wants to confiscate them, they have them already.
Yep. Okay.
I'm depressed now. What's up? What's next, Mike?
I assume we have no new iTunes reviews?
Nope, none, actually. Nope, we don't. Checked that today. Should have updated that. Sorry.
Okay.
Yep, right. None as of today.
Okay. Well, if you'd like to send us a review, you can send it to us at host@newshootercanada.ca or go on to iTunes and give us 5 stars.
Well, you know what, Kelly? That one guy that sent us that review back in, was it February? I was going to give him a deck of playing cards, but I've never heard back from him. So contact me and give me your information. I'll send you out those playing cards that I promised. I still have them put away for him.
Okay.
Yep. Okay. And as of today, we have 777 Facebook likes, and I guess 2 thumbs up now.
Yep.
Yep.
2 thumbs up and
yep.
And a bunch of stars.
Oh, yeah. Anyways, check out some of the other awesome podcasts we listen to. Action Shooting Radio, Slam Fire Radio, Modern Reichman Radio, Reloading Podcast, Armed Couples Podcast, Armed Squirrels Project, Firearms Cafe, Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns, Great Northern Firearms Radio, and the Canadian Patriot Podcast.
And you didn't say it right, Mike. It's Geeks, Gadgets, and Guns. Okay. You have to really stretch out the uns.
I'll remember that for next time.
Okay.
All right, shout-outs. George, you have any shout-outs?
My shout-outs go to the listeners for tolerating my shenanigans. And Kelly for tolerating my shenanigans.
Nope.
Thomas?
Shout-out to my friend Connie.
Okay.
She talked me back into shooting trap again, so shout-out to my buddy Connie. Hopefully we'll be shooting again in a couple weeks. We used to go shooting a lot. So hopefully we'll see her again soon.
Good. Kelly?
No, not tonight.
No? Okay.
Nope.
My shout-out tonight goes out to Braden. He's actually a college friend of mine. I took him out shooting about a month ago, and I was talking to him this week, and he was telling me that he's going to go get his license now.
Excellent.
That's good.
Yep, so I'm really happy to hear that, and yeah. And I also told him about the podcast, so hopefully he's listening.
Well, if he listens to this one, he probably won't.
Yeah.
What?
It's been a train wreck tonight.
Okay. On that note,
I broke my chair, the cat attacked me, the dog's whining.
Alright. Kelly, why don't you start us off getting out of here?
Keep it classy.
Take your kid shooting.
Keep your barrels pointed downrange.
Time spent at the range is time spent with family. Have a good night, everyone.
Good night.
Catch y'all later.
Thank you for taking the time and listening to our show. Our audience is important to us, and we encourage our listeners to contact the show with feedback, suggestions, or questions that you may have. You can contact the guys at hosts@newshootercanada.ca. And please like our Facebook page. Thanks for listening, and have a groovy day.
Hi, and welcome to New Shooter Canada. I'm one of your hosts, Mike Hissen. Tonight with me, we have George Hatch, Thomas Donnelly, and Kelly Lynn.
Hello.
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 What episode's this, Mike?
Pardon me?
What episode's this?
Oh, 82.
Okay.
So if you'd like to replace Mike, email the show at...
Host at New Shooter Canada.
Okay, Mike, you want to try it again?
Yeah, we'll try that again.
Oh, okay. That was golden. I'd leave that in.
We're going to edit
it.
Oh, it's fine.
Be nice to him.